Hello everyone, welcome to the When It Worked podcast. You're with your host Julian Leahy. Today I'm joined by the fantastic Maura Rogers and Nishant Sondhi. Welcome to the show, guests.
Thank you very much. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us. No worries, my pleasure. And we're going to play Jeopardy with these fabulous people. And after that, we're going to learn all about them and what they're doing, etc. All right, Maura, on the left. Oh, let's not forget the music. Would you like to kick things off? The categories are 80s movies, the Civil War, toys and games, trivia, American literature, and chemistry. Pretty basic chemistry, to be honest.
Okay, why don't we do chemistry for 200?
Chemistry for 200. Common kitchen substance known chemically as sodium chloride.
Salt.
Salt is correct. Nishant, I bet you knew that one. Well, Maura, well done. You're on the board for 200 and you're in control. What would you like?
Let's do chemistry for 300.
Chemistry for 300, the chemical symbol for sulfuric acid. Nishant, if you know, you can jump in. No Googling.
Is it SA3?
Ooh, it's close to that. I tell you what, it's not. It's not HCl. It's the other one. You got 5 seconds. Time's up. The answer is H2SO4. Now you can remember from year 10. Maura, you're still in control. If you get this one wrong, we're going to hand things over to Nishant. What would you like, Maura?
Very fair. Why don't we do trivia for 200?
Trivia for 200. When it rung for Chief Justice John Marshall's funeral, it cracked. Meaning that is, and which is the most famous bell in the United States? On all your money. Well, on lots of your money, I think. And in Philadelphia.
The Liberty Bell?
Liberty Bell is correct. Well done, Maura. And you're on 400 points. You're still in control. Don't panic, Nishant. You'll get plenty of opportunities.
Thank you.
Let's do toys and games for 300.
Toys and games for 300. Versions of this board game take place in London, Madrid, and Atlantic City.
Versions of this board game?
One of the most famous board games, but usually... Let's take a look. Maura is correct. Whoa. Well done. That was 300. You're on 700 now. Doing very well. What would you like, Maura Rogers?
Let's do trivia for 500.
Trivia for 500. In 1984, it spent the night in a discount house parking lot before heading to LA Coliseum. And what happened in 1984? Were you even born in 1984?
I wasn't.
Well, it's going to be happening again in 2028 or 5, I don't know. Happens every 4 years, and it's something that is very important to this event. Do you know, Nishant?
It's been the night.
And, okay, final clue, and I'm going to give you 1 second to answer. It's something that must never be extinguished.
A fire. Oh, no, that should be extinguished.
The Olympic torch.
Oh, wow.
We're supposed to the Olympics, but yes. Not the torch.
Okay, now what was the last one? I think, is that two incorrect answers or one incorrect answer? I've lost the plot. Oh, no, you did get the last one, I think. You're still in control, Maura. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay, let's do toys and games for 500.
Toys and... Did you get Monopoly, correct?
Yes.
You did, yes. Toys and games for 500?
Yes.
Okay. She's been a teenage fashion model since 1959.
A Barbie?
is correct. And you said a Barbie with a question mark, but that doesn't matter because that is still correct.
Okay.
Well done, Maura. Barbie's very much in the news with that movie that just came out with Margot Robbie, a fellow Australian. Maura, what would you like?
Let's do American literature for 300.
American literature for 300. You can start panicking now, Nishan.
I am.
Don't panic.
Steinbeck novel about farmer Tom Joad during the Great Depression.
I don't know if I've read this one.
I'll give you a clue. The Grapes of
Wrath.
Wrath is correct. Maybe I shouldn't have given you that clue. Well,
yeah, maybe
got
I've those points. I don't think I've earned those points.
Oh well, it's equal opportunity to jump in. You're still in control, Maura. What would you like?
Okay, let's do the Civil War for 100.
Civil War for 100. Oh, did I get the wrong one? Lincoln's four brothers-in-law all served in this army.
The Civil War.
I think there was two armies in the Civil War. Which one did Lincoln's brother-in-law serve in? 5 seconds.
Were they part of the Southern Army? No, Northern Army.
Nishan, if you can give me a better name for the answer. If you can give me a better name for the Southern Army. The Confederates.
Yeah.
All right, Nishan, I'm going to give you a turn to pick something. What would you like?
I'll go for Toys and Games 200.
Toys and Games for 200. Color that always has the opening move in chess.
It's going to be the white.
Is correct. Well done, Nishan. On the board. My heart was in my mouth. I wanted nothing more than you to get that correct. What would you like, Nishan?
Glad to get off the bark. I'll go for Trivia 300.
Trivia for 300. Kingdom that Khrushchev couldn't visit in a 1959 USA trip. Khrushchev, do you know who Khrushchev was?
No.
He was a Russian leader during the Soviet period when they were a very strict communist people, and he did come to the United States, but he would have looked bad to all of the Soviet people if he had gone to this particular kingdom inside the United States, which just sounds bizarre. Time is up. The answer is Magic Kingdom. It's Disneyland. Because they didn't want to show Khrushchev having all that fun with Mickey Mouse. Because everyone would have go, hang on a minute, what are we doing with this stale bread? still in control, Nishant?
Sure. I'll go for Toys and Games 400.
Toys and Games 400. An American manufacturing and retail company specializing in crayons, formerly Binney and Smith. Jump in if you got it, Maura.
Crayola?
Crayola is correct. Well done, Maura. That was 400 points. You are in control. Don't feel bad.
I am.
Yes, no, you're okay. In control now, Maura.
All right. Let's do chemistry for 400.
Chemistry for 400. Used in cars, catalytic converters, it's more expensive than gold. You can also give it to your wife when you get engaged or married.
A diamond?
It's a metal. 1 second left. Platinum is the correct answer.
I didn't.
Is that why everyone's stealing catalytic converters? It must be. I thought it was copper then. It was in there. Never mind. Continue on. You're still in control, Maura.
Let's see. Why don't we do 80s movies for 200.
80s movies for 200. Maura was not even the sparkle in her parents' eye at this time. 1983 American coming-of-age crime drama directed by Francis Ford Coppola, starring Matt Dillon, Tom Cruise, and Ralph Macchio. Before Karate Kid. One of the first Tom Cruise movies. It also had Rob... who's that really good-looking guy that's... friends with Mike Myers, and he played number two in Wayne. And anyway, Rob, I don't know. Do you know who I mean?
It's not Rob Lowe.
Yeah, Rob Lowe. He's in it as well, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
It's kind of, you know, those 50s kind of gang movie types where they've all got leather jackets and black hair, greasy hair and all that. I think it's kind of like that. And no.
Okay. Yeah, I think I can see it, but I don't know the name of it. I'm blanking on
it. The Outsiders is the answer. Okay. And that's a good movie to watch. I recommend you check that out on Netflix or whatever.
Okay. I'm on it.
Maura, you've only got one incorrect, I believe. You're still in control.
Okay, let's do trivia for 100.
Trivia for 100. In 2022, Americans used over 2.25 million gallons of this beach product.
This beach product?
The other clue would be gallons.
The ocean? The sea?
Four, three... Two. I need to put it on my head. One. Sunscreen. Lotion.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Otherwise, I'd turn it into a tomato. You're in control, Nishant. What would you like?
Hey, I'll go for. Let's do trivia for 400.
Trivia for 400. Dr. Seuss's egg-hatching elephant, who was faithful 100%.
No.
Maura's got a little grin on her face. I think she might know this one.
I have a 2-year-old, so I think I've read this book, or whatever the reference is to this book, perhaps.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Egg-hatching elephant.
Four,
it's three, it's not who?
Two, one. It's Horton.
But gosh.
Who he heard was a who. But it was actually Horton. Nishant, you're still in control. What would you like?
Okay, I'll go for... I'm very bad with the 80s movies. So I'll go with Toys and Games 100.
Toys and Games 100. Number of pockets on a pool table.
Okay, six
is correct. Well done, Nishant. You're still in control, and you picked up some points. Well done. What would you like?
Glad. I'll go for the Civil War 300.
Civil War. You were actually born in the United States, but moved over to India, weren't you? So,
yes, I grew up in India. I came here a few years ago.
But you didn't go to school in America? Elementary school?
No, in India. I'm good with Indian history.
Unfortunately, we don't have any. So was that 200?
I can go for 200.
I'll go 200. Those shots fired at this garrison started the war. No casualties resulted. This is going to be a dreadful category. Any idea, Maura? I have no idea. Nishant's got no idea. Let's take a look at the answer. Fort Sumter. All right, I think you're in control now, Maura. What would you like?
Yeah, so my I'm not a history buff either. Something I should kind of just fresh up on. But why don't we try Civil War for 300?
Okay. And I recommend you do the 80s movies ones. You'll probably know those. He was Lincoln's first choice to lead the Union Army. And I'll give you a clue. He's also the name of the car in Dukes of Hazzard. Have you seen that movie? Or the TV show?
No.
Do you remember the movie? Jessica Simpson and Tommy Knoxville, or whatever his name is.
I know. I remember when it came out, but I didn't end up watching it.
Okay. Lincoln's first choice, and the name of that car is Robert E. Lee. All right, let's avoid this category, and I recommend you have a crack at one of the movie ones. I reckon they're easier than you think. Well, who knows? It was a long time ago, the 80s. Who's in control? I've totally forgotten. Did you get...
Why don't you go to Nisha?
Go, Nisha.
Cool. So I'll go for the 80s movies, 300.
Okay, 300, good man. In 84, he's a destroyer. In 82, he's just a barbarian. Played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Dominator?
No, before that, he had a big sword. Like a medieval sort of guy with a sword and animal fur and big muscles. The Barbarian. Conan. Does that ring a bell? Conan the Barbarian? Or have I just got crickets? Nishant, continue on. What would you like?
I'll stick with the 80s movies over American Literature.
So which one would you like?
We'll go 400. Like, I have some...
After moving to a new town, two brothers discover that the area is a haven for vampires. It starred the two Coreys. You know who they are?
Two Coreys.
Yeah, does that ring a bell? You know the two Coreys, right? Or am I just too old? You don't know the two Coreys. Okay, well, Kiefer Sutherland, do you know who that is? Do you know who Donald Sutherland is? Okay. This movie is called The Lost Boys. Heard of that one?
Mm-hmm.
You have. Okay, cool. All right. I think it might be two incorrect answers. We'll go back to Maura, and then we'll wrap it up, I think. Maura, what would you like?
Let's do Chemistry for 100.
Chemistry for 100. Coal and diamonds both consist of it.
Carbon?
Is correct. Well done. I will not tax you for that answer. That's a dad joke. Sorry. All right. Let's continue on. Maura, what would you like?
We'll do Chem for 500.
Chemistry for 500. USA and Canada produce almost the entire world supply of the lightest inert gas. What do they use at the Macy's parade? Hopefully not hydrogen. 5 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
Helium is the answer.
All right,
we have been going on for about 20 minutes. Let's wrap things up there. Well done, Maura Rogers. You've got 2,000 points. You're in the champions round. And keep an eye on the YouTube channel. We'll get you back and you can play for real money. Well done, Nishant, as well. These questions, I think, were quite difficult. I think they were quite old. That could be the problem. What do you think? Well,
they were fun.
That's good. Yes.
It was fun.
Well, that's just kind of the luck of the draw with this Jeopardy. These are actual Jeopardy questions. But anyway, let's talk to Maura now and find out all of the great things Maura's been doing. Maura, tell us about what you've been doing. You're helping people get healthy, get rid of stress, and nutritious eating is all behind that. Do you want to tell us a bit about your journey to becoming a nutritional guru?
Totally, yeah. So I'm a registered dietitian and an integrative health coach based in California. And I have had a number of roles, but specifically I have my own practice right now. And I specialize in helping people ditch dieting and create healthier, more gratifying eating habits and improved body satisfaction through a proven framework that really embraces mindful and intuitive eating techniques. So it's basically a way of getting away from diet culture, which we know statistically doesn't work very well. Most people who start a diet by 12 months often regain that weight, and it affects their metabolic health and their metabolism. So this is really a way of creating more balance and doing it in a way where there's less external rigid rules and really just kind of going inward and listening to your body more and really focusing on nourishing your body. I think that's the biggest piece here. So I have most recently created a 3-month wellness program that I'm so excited about, and it's highly personalized. And it's basically a nutrition program that helps people master their eating habits. It helps them create a balanced mindset and relationship with food that really sets them up for success far beyond, you know, our time together. So, it's you know, really for those who are looking to end their dieting struggles or feeling overwhelmed or stressed as to what to eat, how to feel their best, and basically just creating that sustainable change that I think allows people to then live their life in the most impactful way.
Wow, that was fantastic. Cool. That. And, you know, the diets is a problem. And I was recently sort of trying to do that, and I went on the you know, the thing where you have all just shakes, milkshakes, and and I thought because I've done that previously and dropped 10 kilos very quickly, and then today, then I last time I did it, I just felt horrid, and I said I would rather be a bit pudgy than do this. So yes, it's not really a good way. So what's the right way? I mean, it's a totally different mindset, isn't it? What do you teach on your course? Is it you know, is it restricting what you eat? Is it just eating, buying healthy food, cooking your own food? What are some of the kind of underlying beliefs?
Yeah, so I think it's, first of all, getting away from that all or nothing mindset. I think oftentimes when we think about eating, it's either we're eating, you know, half a pizza, or, you know, then we feel guilty and then we try to restrict and then we kind of overeat or binge eat again. And so a lot of it is finding that sweet spot where you maximize the value you get from whole, real, fresh food and do it in a way where it's enjoyable. I don't want people to suffer through their eating where they're just eating chicken and broccoli. I think that's boring. I think food should be celebrated, but also doing it in a way where you're very intentional and mindful about how it makes you feel, recognizing that food is never going out of style. You'll always have access to it, I think, for the most part, and that's such a gift. And so just taking the pressure away of having to overindulge because you feel like you shouldn't, and instead giving yourself permission to do that. And when you do, you find that you naturally start to make choices, modify your portion sizes that just make you feel better. And of course, so much of the reasons that we make choices isn't just about the food. It's so much about the mindset and underlying stress or emotional eating that might take place, or not having that kind of base nutrition foundation or understanding. Oftentimes when we're not sleeping enough, we have, you know, hormones that are working against us, and we are more inclined to eat more. So I really focus on the entire spectrum of wellness. So everything from lifestyle choices around sleep and stress management and movement to educating people on nutrition, and then really personalizing it to them to figure out how can we find the best of both worlds, where you're enjoying your food, you're eating ice cream in a way that feels good, but you're also walking away feeling great and there's no kind of downside there. So yeah, it's a lot of mindful and intuitive eating techniques that I found to be incredibly successful.
Yes, it was interesting what you said, that when you sort of take the holistic approach, you end up making healthier choices anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like when you're feeling stressed out, you know, maybe instead of grabbing a beer, or my wife will grab like a chocolate cake or something, you know, and mm-hmm. when you start getting in control and exercising and doing it, you start thinking, I don't even want to do that. So it's a good approach, I think, to really look at everything in terms of what are you trying to deal with mentally through food, and, you know, start making better choices. And I did put up there, there's a call where you can have, well, that's not it. It's this one here, have a chat with Maura. The link is in the show notes. And is that like a Zoom chat? And what do you talk about with that, Maura?
Yeah, so this is a highly condensed like intro call where at the end of this complimentary 20-minute call, you and I can create a game plan together and some actionable things you can start focusing on to make eating less stressful and create sustainable habits that just make you feel better. So yeah, I just want to offer that to you guys.
Awesome. And you know what? People might say, well, I'm not going to do it right before Christmas, but I think it's actually this week is a really good time to get yourself a bit of a plan. And then, you know that, okay, maybe, we've got something in place because we're all going to go a bit crazy over Christmas. But yeah, I reckon this week before Christmas is a good time to do it. So book your call in. How free are you in this week before Christmas for crisis calls?
I have some availability left. It's kind of short and sweet, not a whole lot of time, but definitely recommend, taking a look at the calendar if it is a good fit.
Awesome. Well, I reckon Maura seems so healthy, vital, and sincere and lovely, and I think you should give her a call. She seems like a very good person to talk to about this. That's my feeling, and I've only just met her.
Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Nishant, how are you over there, my friend?
Thank you.
All right. How are you? And tell us a little bit about your journey, because we don't have people being born in the US and then emigrating to India. We usually have it the other way around. How did this happen?
Correct. So I was born here and I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, and my parents at that time decided that they wanted to go back to India and raise me over there, be closer to friends and family. My grandfather had actually immigrated to the US in the 1980s. So I moved back, but I always had that voice inside that I wanted to come to the US. Had an opportunity to come here during my undergrad and postgrad education, but I still chose to stay in India. And then finally I was like, no, I have to pack my bags and come here with a one-way ticket and really see what America is all about. So, and here I am.
Well, you didn't need to get a green card or anything, did you? Because you were fully certified from day one. And and you're basically a property guy now. So are you a property developer, would you call yourself?
No, for now I'm a real estate fund manager. I've been a realtor in New York City for almost 5 years. And being a realtor, there's one common problem I would keep hearing from almost everyone I would meet is that where can I find quality real estate investing opportunities? And I just hearing my customers, I realize it's a much bigger problem than one does realize. People don't have access to quality investment opportunities. I saw this to be an area where I could work on, and in 2023, I started my own private equity fund called Sondhi Capital Group, essentially where I partner with top-tier real estate institutional firms who are creating large-scale real estate projects and fractionalizing those opportunities for busy professionals so they can get access to such quality investments.
Yeah, this is interesting, Nishan. Not everyone knows what this is. So this is not your normal real estate agent type situation. This is a fund. So this is for people looking to invest in real estate and without really getting their hands dirty. Would that be a good way to put it?
Correct. It's only for those people who are looking for passive real estate investing opportunities. When you buy real estate, it's a lot more work than one actually does realize. You're going to go through the whole process of identifying a property, putting bids, working with a realtor, getting a mortgage, then handling tenants, property issues. So this is for busy professionals who want to get themselves involved in private equity, real estate opportunities, but just don't have the time to do this actively. And they're looking for trusted resources out there who can help get them access to such quality investments. Purely passive, where you have the sponsor, a general partner who's responsible for identifying and analyzing the investment opportunity. A good way to think about it is an expert who's a location expert and asset type expert. There are different types in commercial real estate. It could be multifamily, built to rent. So I partner with experts in those fields who have a proven track record and get those opportunities to my investors. With my investors won't have had access to such deals.
You know, Nishant, this is an interesting thing, and the passive nature of it, I guess, is what's interesting. But the one thing I would say to you would be, how do I know that I'm actually investing in property? And have you heard of Grant Cardone?
Yes.
Have you seen his property fund?
Yes, I have.
What do you think of that?
I think Rand's done a great job for the industry. He has a good knack of breaking down complex topics and educating people about the benefits of investing in real estate. He himself is a general partner and developer, and he's bringing those opportunities across to investors. And look, my view is that just get involved. So it could be Grant Cardone's funds or different people who you may get a referral from or someone you may know from your network. So yeah, I do totally agree with.
Do you think Grant Cardone's real estate fund is real? That's my question.
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. Yes. All right. I got my doubts.
He's doing a great job. He's doing a great job. He has some very good opportunities, and I think he's been able to fractionalize them for everyday investors and do a great job.
All right. Now, so the thing that I was wanting to know was, when people invest, what do they usually put in a small amount, see how much, how it works, and if they get it back? I mean, can people do that, or is there a minimum amount to get involved?
Sure. So typically these investments, the minimum amount is somewhere between $50,000 to $100,000, depending on project to project. The good thing is that you get to choose which project you're investing in. So it's not a blind pool fund that you invest in a fund and then it's going across 10 projects. So you're very much involved in understanding project details, the location, the sponsor, the projected returns, the track record of the sponsor. So there is some level of involvement. And I think a lot of my investors find value in that, where they can choose a project and actually get excited about it. So most investors tend to start somewhere between $50,000 to $75,000 just to test it, just to see how well it's working, the communication they're getting from me and the sponsors, the projected returns, the cash flows. Once they get comfortable, notice that these investors tend to come back to us 2 to 3 times in a year, and we get a lot more referrals as well, because as the biggest value we're giving to them is that we want real estate to be an asset where you are able to, where it's able to give you all the benefits, something similar to what you get in the stock market. Okay, of course, real estate is illiquid, but once you invest in stock, you're pretty much hands off. A lot of people have built a real estate portfolio, but it's a lot more work. So we don't want to create another job for you. We want to actually take things off your plate and help you diversify by being in a proven asset class like real estate.
Awesome. And just one last question, Nishant. What types of property opportunities are you most favoring at the moment?
So the target regions are the Sun Belt. I recently moved from New York City to Florida, just seeing that there's so much opportunity over here. I'm targeting areas of Texas, Florida, now South Carolina, and the U.S. There's a home affordability issue in the U.S. right now, because mortgage rates have been historically high in the last 25 years. And actually, home affordability is the worst in the last 40 years. So the number one strategy, which I'm going to be focusing on in 2024, is build for rent communities. These are actually gated rental communities where we are able to build townhome style homes, where targeting people who've actually missed the boat, the middle market, due to the high mortgage rates, homes where you have no one above you, below you, the American dream of having your own garage, a lawn. And you notice that people tend to stay longer over there despite being a rental home, because they get a sense of community. So we feel that build for rent community is going to be a very good opportunity in 2024 and 2025, in fact.
Awesome. And Nishant, what's the best way to get in touch with you? LinkedIn?
Yes, I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. My Calendly link is over there, so I'll be happy if someone is interested to have a call just to understand better the U.S. real estate landscape, the opportunities here. The yields in the U.S. market are really exciting, and I'd love to speak with you. So LinkedIn is a great place to find me.
Awesome. And I've got both of your links in the show notes. So if people do want to get in touch with our wonderful guests, Maura Rogers and Nishant Sondhi, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julian, for having me.
And well done on winning, by the way, Maura. And hopefully we'll see Maura again on the Champions Round. Hopefully we'll see Nishant again too. And thanks for listening and watching. I'm going to wrap things up. See you next time. Bye.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye.